You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, we'll bring Jeff in now. We're hoping that it's all up and running. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, James.
Yeah, morning, Jeff. Extend our congratulations to you just on the body of work. It's more than work. I mean, it's got to be love put into every single page. Are we talking over 320,000 words by the time you finish?
It did get to that in the end. It was it has been an obsession. I love the club. I love the club from the first time I went and saw them play. In fact, even before that, from the first Billy Smith footy card I got, I love the club. And this is, it's just been a lot of work and a lot of fun, and I've loved every minute of it.
Now this one, like the first, obviously, the focal point, the first, and everyone just went straight to the 11 straight premierships and the great yarns around that. But when you talk about the period for the St. George Dragons Club from 1968 onwards, you do get to cover great yarns such as, you know, Bath's Babes and the period there in the late 70s. But you also have to cover the grim, like 1975. Remember that grand final day? What was it, 38-0 to Jack Gibson's Roosters? You have to include that in a book. I mean, you can't ignore history. You've got to include it all, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Oh, absolutely. And look, one of the, I was going to say joys, that's not the right word, but to talk to people like Steve Edge about what happened in 1975, because there were rumours that there were fights in the dressing room at halftime and all that. And the reality was that Graham Langlands had an injection that didn't work. St George were essentially playing too short because Ted Goodman broke his cheekbone in a head clash with Ian Schubert. And they had the misfortune to be playing one of the all-time great sides, and the second half became a disaster. But interesting yarn on that is that after the game, they're all in the dressing room, you know, feeling sorry for themselves. And the great Billy Smith got up and said, "Guys, we came second. We had a great year. Let's go back to the club and celebrate it." And when they went back to the club, the fans were there in their thousands and they greeted them like heroes. And I think that said something about the spirit of the Dragons. That Graham Wynn said to me when I was talking to him about what the spirit of the Red V is, he said in one word, family. And I think that captures one of the things that's truly great about the St. George Rugby League Club.
Was that the White Boots grand final?
Yeah.
That was the one.
Quick, can we move on to something else?
Oh, it's amazing vision. I tell you what, there's a great shot. I haven't actually checked to see if you've got the photo, but I've always loved it. The Graham Langlands photo on the bench with just a dirty old sponge strapped to the leg as if that would make any bloody difference. We've come a long way in the medical world, but Graham Langlands sitting on the bench having, you know, succumbed to the injury, and he's just got a bit of sponge, the magic sponge, not so magic on that particular day. But the book is filtered with the great moment photos. Harry Bath, his contribution to the club, just a great rugby league man, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, look, when he came to St. George in 77, St. George had a very, very young side. I mean, they became known as Bath's Babes. But I think what Bath did that season to take that club to the premiership, it might be the greatest single-season coaching effort in the history of the premiership, because no one thought St. George could win the comp at the start of the year. He got an extraordinary season out of Ted Goodwin. He realised that at that season, 77, and Arthur Beetson was on the wane, that Rod Reddy was probably the most influential forward in the comp. He had a front rower, young front rower, first season up from Wollongong, Craig Young, and he turned them into a real premiership force. And then on grand final day in the replay, he just got them into a frenzy before the game, and they just demoralised Parramatta on grand final, the grand final replay day. It's one of the great days in the club's history.
How do you view, Jeff, the period of the merger with Illawarra?
It's a difficult time. I have come to the conclusion that St. George had no option but to seek a joint venture of some kind. I think that's true of all the clubs who stuck with the ARL. As it turned out, Manly negotiated a joint venture with North Sydney that led to them eventually becoming a standalone club, and as we know, South got back into the comp. But the truth was, for the clubs that stuck with the ARL, they had to seek a joint venture of some kind. And when St George were looking at their options, they came up with a terrible idea of maybe merging with East, which would have been a disaster. But then in 98, Illawarra were broke. St George had some very, very strong links with the Illawarra district through great players like Langlands and Young and Goodwin and Morris and Johnson who'd come to the club. At the same time, St George had sent a lot of their players down to the Illawarra. So there was a strong link between the two clubs. It was, in one sense, a natural merger. I'm not sure if it's worked perfectly, but I think it was the best thing for the Red V that had happened.
Certainly opened them up to a massive nursery of lower grade players and grassroots. There's been heaps of talent come from that Wollongong area.
This is the thing about the current day St George Illawarra. The St George district, when the club was formed in 1921, basically went from Arncliffe south to the fringes of Sydney, which was, you know, around Hurstville, and then it extended into the Sutherland Shire. Then the St George district was cut in half when Cronulla came into the comp. But it was as natural it was for Cronulla to come into the comp. It was very natural for the St George district in 99 to move south to Illawarra. It would have been wrong for St George to take over the Illawarra because Illawarra is a strong district in its own right. So calling the club St George Illawarra was a natural thing. I think what has to happen now is that the club needs to think of itself not as a joint venture, but just as one entity that goes from Arncliffe all the way down to Batemans Bay. And that it represents rugby league heartland from Arncliffe down to Batemans Bay, because that's certainly what it is. And if St George Illawarra today can get their head around that and just be one entity, I think it can become a powerhouse again.
All righty, well said. And all we commentators always make sure when we say team name, St George Illawarra, never drop off the Illawarra, St George Illawarra. One last one that is an important part. We talk about the last premiership and Wayne Bennett, the role of Wayne Bennett. Do the Dragons win a competition without Wayne Bennett? I'll throw that at you, Jeff. The 2010 premiership.
They might, but it certainly wouldn't have been no certainty. One of the things about the St George story from 1921 to today is that they're at their best when they've got the great coaches, whether it be Frank Burge or Ken Carney, Harry Bath, Roy Masters, Brian Smith, David Waite, through to Wayne Bennett. And I think, you know, I think Anthony Griffin in that sense is, I don't know whether we've seen the best of Anthony Griffin as a coach at St George, but certainly Bennett's influence on that team. The team had developed something of a reputation for falling short, and what he did, as Harry Bath had done and as Ken Carney had done, he turned them into winners, and they were thinking like winners. And that second half on Grand Final Day in 2010 was one of the greatest 40 minutes in the Red V's history.
Yeah, well, that's there. I don't know about 2023 and the Spirit of the Red V, the book we're talking about, A Century of Dragons Rugby League, this volume 2 takes us up to the end of 2021. I don't know whether your volume 3, if there is, I don't know whether 2022 and 2023 are going to be vintage years for the Dragons to write about. Jeff, I'm sorry about that, mate, but
I think it depends on the young players.
Yes. Yes.
If the young blokes rise up, as has happened in the past, in 59 when they went through the season undefeated, they had four blokes who were 19 at the start of the season who had not played first grade for St George, but they all rose up, Johnny Riley, Reg Gasnier, Johnny Raper, these sort of guys, they rose up. And if the young blokes of St George who were there now can do the same thing, perhaps the Dragons might surprise a few people this year.
Yeah, well, I'll go to your very last line on the Spirit of the Red V, and you go over some of the junior stars from the 2019 SG Ball side and 2021 and that, and your last line is, the more things change, the more they stay the same, the Dragons go marching on. So let's hope we hear the song sung many times. Ben Rossley, our producer, nodding appreciatively about it. He's a Dragons man. We've got plenty of Dragons supporters listening to the program. I encourage them greatly, Jeff, to go out and get your book, whether they buy it for personal or they buy it as a gift for someone who they know is a Dragons fan. They're not going to be disappointed. Mate, you have done you've done a service for rugby league and the club and the St George Dragons and the St George Illawarra Dragons with what you've put together, mate. Well, well done.
Thank you, Andrew. I really appreciate your support. And James, thanks, mate. I really appreciate it.
Good stuff. Does it make you want to be a Dragons fan, James, or are you Bulldogs pick and stick? Bulldogs for life?
Well, look, Jeff was very optimistic about the season ahead, but if St George go undefeated with a number of 19-year-olds in their team next year, I'll write a 300,000-word expose on the St George Dragons as well.
St George Illawarra Dragons.
St George Illawarra Dragons.
St George Illawarra Dragons. You're in the naughty corner. No, great stuff. He's an incredible writer too. It's beautifully written. It's not just, you know, fact. It's the storytelling as well. So
I want someone to write one on the Bulldogs now after listening to that.
Yeah, well, I think Gary Lester may have done. I've got the Bulldogs one on my shelf. I'll dig that out for you, James. But great to have the history of rugby league documented in such grand style. It is 23 after 8. Breakfast with Vossie and James Magnusson, the Missile, on 1170 SEN. Vossie and Brandy here. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget, you can listen live to the show every weekday morning from 6 till 9.
Tune in through 1170 AM in Sydney or anywhere in the world through the SEN app.